Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Okay, welcome back to Probably a Podcast. We are not in my living room, which we know and we love. We are at the Cast Collective. It's an amazing studio in Nashville. You guys check it out. Always plug because one of my really dear friends owns it. So fucking use it, okay? And I have the most amazing two girls who are literally like, I don't want to say a breath of fresh air, even though you guys are. You're like a breath of like Listerine air. Like you just like, you know, when you chew gum and then drink water and you're like, you're like, but you're also like
but
so
it's like
awake.
Icy.
Yeah, you
like,
love
fire.
It, but you're like,
yeah.
Yes. You guys are that. Like you, I didn't meet you until literally this morning before we podcasted. This is Maddie and Scout, Okay Sis Podcast. We're doing a little podcast swap. I was just on theirs. We had a blast.
Blast.
But you guys are just such great energy. You never know. Like you always want to agree to a podcast swap and hope for the best. You're like, but you just never know, right?
We were talking about this right before we started where we were like, what are the talking points? Like, we'll send talking boys. And I'm like, how do I just tell her? Like, we're going to vibe and just, we'll just talk.
Yeah, I was like, Courtney, we should like ask some things and be professional because like, I don't know. Courtney's like, yeah, we should do that. We should do that. Because I'm like, I've never met you guys before technically. So I'm like, I'm such a, like a creature of habit. I have like the same like friends on and guests on and like, we just like vibe because it's such a conversation. But anyways, I'm thankful that you guys are the way you are because I literally, I had a notebook and I was like, bloop, and I have like a couple things in here, but I'm just like,
your British flag notebook.
Oh my God, they roasted me. They're like, not the British flag notebook. I was like, listen guys, I'm fucking lame, okay?
No, but we love the Brits.
Yeah, we have that in common. You guys have stepsisters that are Brits.
Right, yes. So we then think we're British.
So you walk around your house screaming that one boring song and we walk around screaming,
Stephanie,
you know?
We go around and we're just like, do we say British? And they're just like, shut the fuck up.
They're like, no, you don't.
James it's Henry accent. Potter.
And I was there like, I want to die. Oh, Natalie Porter. I was like, what did you just say?
Harry Potter.
Oh. Isn't Natalie Porter British too?
I don't
who
even
is
know
that.
Natalie
Porter?
No.
You mean Natalie Portman? Yes.
No, she's Israeli.
No, she's Israeli and like Jewish.
Oh,
not British at all. Guys, fuck me. I know nothing that I'm ever talking about. Okay, I get roasted for this from my listeners, which honestly, fair. It's constructive criticism, but they say because I just did the podcast with you guys and I feel like I've known you for 85 years now.
Yeah.
I forget that I need to introduce people, give you the origin story because like, I enjoyed listening to that and
who
you guys are really
were
enjoyable, but like, who are they? And I'm like, oh yeah, they're not just like two fun girls that I found. So Maddie Scout from the OK Sis Podcast and much more, give me your origin story. And I hate that. It's like, tell me fun five facts about yourself.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off. But like, give me a little bit of an origin story. I know you guys have a pitch.
For
let's
sure.
Fucking
yeah. So we're sisters IRL, like we are actual sisters, hence the name Okay Sis Podcast. Born and raised in San Diego, Jewish as fuck, as you
love.
Can we both got our hair blown out from dry bar, so like
love.
Don't be deceived, like we have curly frizzy Jewish
really?
Hair.
I think yes. I would love that.
And you would, you think so? You'd think so.
We'll show you a picture.
So. Okay.
Maddie looked like a poodle the other day, so
I tried to what is it called?
Diffuse.
It didn't work.
I found this girl on TikTok.
Yeah.
Her hair was like perfect curls. I'm like, wait, that's my hair. I was like, it looks
okay,
like
first
it.
Of all, that's my hair.
I was like, wait, she has my hair. And I diffuse it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it was, I roasted her on our podcast about that. I was like, can we talk about that Instagram story that you posted?
Listen.
Oh, God. Okay, sorry, origin story.
Origin story.
So then we started Okay Sis Podcast together.
Four and a half years ago.
That's a long time. You guys are podcast frontiers. I feel like everyone has podcasts now, which is great and fantastic.
Yeah.
Room for everyone. But like, 4.5 years ago was when people were podcasting.
Yes. Yes. And I like back then I thought it was too saturated, yeah. but I was like, oh my God, everyone has a podcast. Like, what are we going to talk about? We have a lot to say is what we've, what we found.
Yeah. We started a long, long time ago. And back then, as Mads said, Mads was like, the space is too saturated, like 4.5 years ago, which just proves that that is the first thing that anyone says before they start something, no matter what time it is.
Yeah. And it's an interesting topic too. Sorry, me interrupting who? Sorry. No, but fine. Like everyone thinks to have something good, someone has to have never done it before, right? It's like Steve Jobs created Apple because no one had done it before. And it's like, no, you can create things and put your own spin on it that's been done before. And I almost didn't create a podcast. Me and my friend Mary Carl at the time, we were both like, there's just like, there's so many. Yeah. There's just, will I be like just another podcast? Yeah. It's like, no, you will be your own version of a podcast.
So I always remember what Lauren Everett Spostick, when we had her on the pod, she said, has anyone ever said like, oh, the music industry is too saturated, I'm not going to be a singer-songwriter? Like, no. Yeah. And it's just, it's a new medium. It's your personal voice. And that was the impetus for me actually doing it, was I looked at all the podcasts I listened to.
Right.
And I listened to like a lot of pop culture podcasts. They're all talking about the same shit. Yeah, but I want their different takes 100%. On each of them. So I was like, you know what? The world needs to hear me.
The world does need to hear you guys. Like Chicks in the Office, The Toast, talking about the same shit, very different podcast. Yeah, exactly. And hilarious in their own right. So I'm very glad that you guys 4.5 years ago decided to start a podcast, because I love listening to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, girl.
But you have the Scout Agency.
Okay, so I have Scout's Agency. So Mads and I started the podcast, and Mads wasn't floundering in her career. I was floundering in my career. Mads like had a job. Like she had a real job.
Okay.
I was like, what am I doing with my life? And I
also has bipolar disorder.
I had bipolar disorder. So my whole 20s were a total shit show. Dropped out of college. Had to figure that out for myself. But I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. Okay. I started 5 million things before I started Scout's Agency. But it was really the podcast, specifically the podcast industry, that sparked the idea for my agency, Scout's Agency. So we specialize in running podcast tours for women. So we take female entrepreneurs and we place them on a bunch of podcasts to tell their story.
It's incredible, by the way. I found out who you guys were from getting emails from you being like, hey, so it's genius. It's you reaching out and making so much sense, by the way, like the way that you phrase things, the way you're able to capture someone else's like persona and their podcast and the way that you like write it. It makes me be like, yeah, fuck yeah, I want them on my podcast. And I would have never found them if not. So it's basically like you're making these cold calls based on it's like your own Scout's algorithm. You're like, who would make sense on this person's podcast? Would this person cross collaborate well on this person's podcast? And that takes a lot of talent too, by the way, because you're not going to reach out to me with a sports podcast. No shade to Dugan, who is big sporty hoops gal. But like, I would be like, I don't know what the fuck I'd talk about, you know?
Yeah.
So like you have a really good talent in that aspect. And it really is, you've cornered the market there, because I don't know anyone else that does that.
Thank you. Yeah, I started that 4 years ago. Incredible. So because of OK Sis, I was like, wait a minute, there's some fucking power going on here. And I started it on a whim. I truly like didn't have a business plan. I did it from a coffee shop, and it kind of just took off. And I quit my day job 3 months later, and now I have a team of 7 and an office in San Diego.
Incredible. And, awesome. So, and if you guys are listening to this and have a podcast and you're like, how do I get more promotion for my podcast? How do I cross-pollinate on other people's podcasts? I'm assuming they can reach out to Scouts. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that is, it's incredible. Always plug, baby.
Girl. You were so good at the plug. I mean, it's amazing. I love you. Yeah. And so I'll plug Maddie's. So after I started Scouts Agency, Mads jumped into, because she's always wanted to be an entrepreneur too.
Love.
And I will just credit OK Sis for giving her the courage to take the plunge too. Yes. And she started Camber, which is a travel recommendations app.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, cool.
Yeah. So basically anytime you've texted a friend and is like, hey, I'm going to Nashville, send me your recs.
Right.
And you send them like the Google Doc or screenshot of the Notes app, and it's like just the most disjointed process. Basically, you can house all of that on Camber. It's a mobile app. And
oh,
it's
my
cute.
Gosh.
It's super cute. Like I used it. I mean, I have my whole Nashville list and city list. And so I was like, oh, right. Where was all the places I wanted to go? And so.
Wait, so explain this to me, because I didn't dive into the app before you guys came here. Sorry. So curious, because when people tell me like, I'm coming to Nashville, I'm like, have fun, bitch. I don't like.
Create a profile and then you just send them to
their profile.
So I would create mine for the cities I know and love.
Yes.
And then like if I was going somewhere and other people, do I have to know them? Does it have to be for my friend, or it can be just a group?
It can be either. So you could either follow your friends and then you could filter the map by just the people you follow, so that you know that it's like trustworthy people.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if it's like, I don't know anyone here, but I just like care about the Camber community.
Right.
You could open it up to anyone and then it can
see
all the places.
Is it out of country too?
Everywhere.
Oh my God. Yeah. Cool. Because people will be like, oh my gosh, you guys went to Cape Town. How was it? And I'm like, well, I mean, like,
send me your recs. And it's like,
oh my gosh, that's genius.
Fuck, I have to go back and like remember where, or like go through my Instagram stories and
I have a notes app on my Nashville one, but I'm always like, I feel like it's outdated. It's so smart.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Genius. I know. Just absolute smart girly pops over here. Thank you. I love that. Yeah. Okay, so that is what you guys do individually. And then the OK Sis podcast is together.
Yes. Together.
I love that. Okay.
So we like kind of work together, but we don't work together. Yeah. Like, I don't think Mads and I could do like an actual business.
That, like, how often do you all podcast?
Every week.
Oh, every week. So, I mean, that's working with your sister every week, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
We do it, honestly, like, if anything, it's just to like keep our relationship deepened. It's like an excuse to just like call your sister every single week.
Oh my God, so I love that. I think me and my sister, we're very, very, very different, but we also like, we could talk for hours if we wanted to. So, if we had a podcast together, I feel like it would probably like strengthen our relationship too.
Exactly. Yeah.
New year, new wardrobe. However, all of y'all know I said I am trying to save shmoney in 2023. We are turning this into a finance podcast, remember? Okay, no, we're not. I'm kidding about that. But I am not kidding about an amazing shopping hack that I have for y'all. Fashion Pass. Now, Fashion Pass is amazing because it takes the commitment and massive price tags off of amazing designer pieces. You're able to rent these gorgeous clothes, and it's unlimited for a flat price, and they legit have the best brands. They got For Love and Lemons, Amanda Uprichard, Free People, Show Me Your Moo Moo, and tons more, but honestly, I'm just listing a few of my faves right there. You can swap out your items as many times a month as you want, so it feels like you're just consistently shopping and getting new clothes every week. But for literally a fraction, a sliver of the price. I am currently on the trendsetter plan, so I get to pick 4 clothing items in every order, or I could pick 3 clothing items and 2 accessories, which is usually what I tend to do because I'm just a gal that loves a funky, cool piece of jewelry or like a fun bag to make my outfit pop. I just find myself wanting these really cool, trendy pieces because, as y'all know, because I've said it time and time again, I am the consumer. I will follow a trend, baby. But then I'm just like over them in like a month or two, you know, because I'm human and that's how it works. So this just saves me so, so much money in that regard. And I don't want to gatekeep it from y'all. The shipping is super fast. They handle the cleaning for you. So no worries there. Just send it back in the pre-labeled bag they give you. And also, if you do fall in love with a piece and you decide, hey, this is more of a staple than a trendy piece, you can buy it from Fashion Pass and they give you mega discounts towards the purchase, like legit 30 to 70% off. And every month I get a $10 purchase discount that counts towards anything I buy. I have got a killer discount code for you guys as well. If you go to fashionpass.com and use code probably at checkout, you'll get $60 off your first month so that you can try it for literally $29. That's unlimited rentals for just $29 with the code probably. You're welcome.
Because, I mean, when we think about ourselves before OK Sis, it's not that, I mean, you talked on our podcast about how you and your sister were fighting your whole childhood.
Arch nemesis.
Mads and I weren't really like that. We're 3 years apart, and we're
just very different. I'm very, you know, very loud and bubbly and all this. She like kind of was depressed. Well, she was depressed clinically. And just kind of like,
I'm not laughing. But you're like, clinically she was.
She was like, chemically, yes, it was. So like, we just didn't vibe, I think, when we were growing up.
We navigate things.
It wasn't that we didn't vibe. It's just that we were close. Like, we did things. We went to coffee shops together. Like, I made you skip school with me sometimes.
We were
like,
close. We went to coffee shops.
It wouldn't be out of the unusual normal to not talk for like 2 weeks, right? Like, that was our relationship.
Okay.
And then we started OK Sis, and it's one, strengthen our relationship beyond I can never, like, this is my girl, right? Like, aww. I can never, I mean, we wouldn't be friends, like, if we met in real life.
I know, we asked, she's my girl. Like, would we be friends?
No, you were like, are we sisters? Friends? You asked me if we're friends. I was like, we're sisters.
That's so funny.
It's been incredible because we've deepened our relationship to the point where we're so intertwined. Like, I feel like my baby is the two of our babies.
Well, baby Lily looks like me, which is fantastic.
Love.
Because, like, she just, then I can just say it's my baby. Well, I look at her and I don't have to.
It's like a little Madeline.
And you remember when she was born too? Well, you were 3, but still, like, it's like your little baby all over again.
Oh, that's true. But exactly. So now we're super close, and like, we've grown up because of the podcast together.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so let's go back to when you said you were bipolar, and you so navigating that. Which, by the way, I'm like, I could understand how navigating that in your early 20s / like early teens is. When were you diagnosed?
So I was diagnosed at the age of 20, which was 11 years ago. But I had my first big episode at the age of 14.
Okay. And at any point then were your parents like, we should, like my parents at one point when I was younger were like, we need to take you to a doctor. You need to be on medicine, because I was like so fucking ADD. Mm. And I like threw a fit. Like, what was your response when someone was like, we should see, or did you seek it yourself? Or were you like, was someone like, we should see if there's something more like serious going on here?
So at the age of 14, I had the first depressive episode and my behavior radically changed. Like, I was wearing gross sweatpants, like the matching ones, but not the cute ones. Like, it wasn't cute. Like,
right. It was pre-cute matching sweatsets.
It was pre-cute matching sweatsets. So I was, again, ahead of the fashion tribe. We talked about this earlier. So
you are always ahead.
I know, I'm always ahead. So I was wearing, like, oversized gray sweatsuits from Target. Like, I wasn't taking care of myself. It was very apparent. And I won't go into too much just because I don't know how trigger warning you have to get around here, but it became very apparent to my school that I was doing things that I shouldn't be doing. And
you can talk about anything. This is a safe space, by the way, just so you know. You can give a trigger warning, but this is the trust tree. Talk about it as much as you want. And people love to hear it. So if you feel comfortable, talk about it.
I just started doing a slew of symptoms to manage it, you know, self-harm and controlling my food and stuff like that that got unhealthy. And that wasn't my issue. I was just trying to figure out how the fuck to cope with this. And so my school found out, they notified my parents, and my parents were like, I guess we put her in therapy, and I totally resisted it. Like, the first four, I was such an asshole, too. I would walk in and be like,
four therapists?
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm not fucking talking to you, you know, like, this is dumb. And then finally I did. But honestly, in high school, I went up, I went down. It was just kind of known that I had some issues. But back then, it really, honestly, like, you think mental health's not talked about today. It was not talked about back then.
No. I agreed.
And as a high schooler, they were always like, oh, well, maybe it's just her hormones. Maybe she's just a teenager.
This is so messed up, because I was going to be like, when you were 14, you probably just thought, like, oh, your parents were like hormones. Like, she's crazy. She's 13. She's 14.
She's like an angsty teen. Yeah.
That's like where my head went too. I'm like, oh, she's 13.
But it was kind of a blessing in disguise that they did that, because they didn't put me on medication for that reason. And I think for me personally, that was the right move. It wasn't until I went away to college that I started developing a really bad sense of paranoia. So I thought men were following me, that they were in my house. And that's when I started losing touch with reality. And that's when I called my parents. I was like, something bigger is happening here.
Okay.
And that started a 2-year, like, dropping out of college, medication, getting my diagnosis, 5150, outpatient programs.
Okay.
And I got, like, the clinical years of my
Now it's like, which bipolar is very, not, I don't want to say easily manageable, but it's like, you can live with bipolar. It used to be such a scary term.
There's two types. The one that's like where people outright are super, you know, happy and then super sad, and you can feel that. But like, she has the one where that's internal. So she doesn't, right?
So type one is more manic, and type two is more depressed. So I get hypomanic. I don't get like full on mania episodes. So I don't go full manic psychotic.
Okay.
I lean towards the depressive side, but I can like boomerang back. And then there's people who rapid cycle and people who cycle in bigger chunks. I cycle in bigger chunks.
And yours are more internal, is that what you're saying, than external?
I would say the way I deal with it is that like you could hang out with me for a week and I could be having a hard week and you probably wouldn't know about it.
So she just like, not bottles it up, but you wouldn't outwardly know that she's bipolar.
Yeah.
Did you feel any sort of like guilt at all, when like, I should have known sooner, I didn't recognize this? Because if you said you could be having a manic episode and you wouldn't know, did you feel any, as her sister, like, how did I not know this? Or were you like, I knew?
So I actually, and we've said this a lot on the pod, like, I thought depression was something that you could just fix or change.
I
didn't think it was a disease.
I think a lot of people don't realize that it's chemical.
Right.
It took a lot of, because I luckily don't suffer from depression, and you don't realize that it's a chemical imbalance in the brain.
Right.
Like, and we are lucky to live in the day and age we do now that like there's help for these things. There's professionals, medical professionals. There's, you know, drugs that you can't, what do you call it? Like
meds.
But like, I mean, it's a literal chemical in your brain, and it's no one's fault. I mean,
right.
It's not like,
exactly. Yeah. So growing up, I had a lot of anger towards her, because I was like, I always had to be the happy one, or like and back then my mental health, I also kind of swept a lot under the rug, because I was like, oh, I'm the one that's optimistic, I'm the one that's funny and like out there. And that's kind of like the role that I played in our family, which caught up to me like in my early 20s.
So, like, you weren't the mentally ill one, but back then people didn't realize that mental health was just for everybody.
Right.
So.
Like, everyone can be, everyone should be in fucking therapy. And so I remember being like, oh, I'm fine. And I used to tell her, I'm like, well, just be happy, like, fix it. Like, hello, like, just show up, like, just decide to wake up. And obviously now I know that that must have been some sort of just like internalized anger or resentment. And I think we had a really rocky relationship during that time because I just didn't understand.
In your 20s. Also, our parents were giving me a lot more attention because, you know, like she says that people outwardly wouldn't know, but the family knew because that's when I would take the mask off and like totally have crazy fits at the house.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and subconsciously, mom and dad were paying way more attention to me at that point than you. And I'm sure that hit. Like, I remember calling her. It was her day of her graduation, but I was 5150 the day before.
What does that mean, by the way? I'm sorry.
It means that they put you on an involuntary hold, so you don't have you're deemed a threat to yourself and society, and so they basically put you away in a psych ward for 72 hours, and you have like no rights, like you are put in there.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Why do they call it 5150?
I have no idea. Good question, but it does roll off the tongue nicely. So it does. I've said
like,
it a lot.
It sounded like a nice little facility. Yeah. You're like, no, it wasn't nice, Shannon.
It wasn't nice, but my dad bought me sushi. Like everyone bought me. Like, my dad literally like brought me like home cooked meals.
Smuggled in sushi. Yeah.
That's really kind.
I know it was. No one liked me for that. But I called Mads the day of her graduation. I weaseled my way out and got to her graduation, and I was like, I'm in the hospital. I'm so sorry. And she was like, I don't get it. Like, why are you in a hospital? Like, what is going on? Like, she didn't understand
that it was like
like that you needed medical attention, not just like wake up on the right side of the bed tomorrow.
Sure.
Like, you can do it. Like, I think now people are more understanding of it for sure. And like you even said, you're like, I don't know how much I can say. I'm like, oh my God, say everything. Everyone talking about it is so helpful because it like crushes the stigma of it because you don't realize that people are going to hospitals and stuff for this. They're not just, just someone being in a bad mood.
Right.
Or having mood swings.
Exactly. Yeah, and like to everyone listening, I always like to end or also mention that there is a lot more in your control than your therapist or your doctor or your family and friends are going to lead on. They are going to lead from fear and from basically healing myself over the last 10 years. There's so much more in your control, and it really is the biggest superpower if you learn to harness it correctly and you learn to really, really take care of yourself in a radical way. So just
she's
in case
she's not on meds anymore.
Really?
No, they told me that I wouldn't be able to carry my child because I wouldn't be able to be off meds and deal with the hormones of pregnancy. And so I realized that I was being limited because they were afraid of who I was. And I decided that no one gets to limit what you really are capable of. So I went off meds. Sorry, this is the part that gets me emotional.
No, I can get emotional. I didn't realize that you couldn't be on those meds and have
the meds pregnant. That I was on, the only ones that worked, because I went through like a slew of medication, the only ones that worked for me, they didn't have enough case
trials.
Studies for pregnancy. So, but I went off almost 3 years ago, and I'm not planning on going back on. So,
and you have a 4-month-old. So like, this is all very raw and real. Like, you're holding your infant baby and you're like, this wouldn't be possible if I didn't believe in myself.
Yes.
And like you just said, decide that no one gets to be afraid of who I am.
Yes.
If I'm not afraid of me, then like no one else gets to be either. Like, take your life back.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I love that it's really encouraging. And I think if you're on medicine and you know that you need to be on medicine right now, stay on it. Absolutely. Listen to your doctors, do everything. But it's really, I think if anyone's listening to this in the same situation, inspiring to hear that you have an option.
Yes, 100%.
For sure.
I'm sure it's not easy. I'm sure you had to work really hard at it, but I mean, that's really, really encouraging.
Yeah, and we all work really hard at everything, right? Like Mads works really hard at her mindset and her mental health today. It's something that I think in today's age, we all get to take ownership of, regardless of if you have a diagnosis or not.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, it's something, like, I never thought I would be so in tune with mental health and mindsets and spirituality. Like, that felt so not.
Yeah, she says the universe sometimes. I
know. You're wild. Before, I used to be like, the universe. And now I'm like, bitch, the universe has my back. Like, it's here.
My best friend, Anna Grace, she is very, very spiritual. She's like very universal. I swear, I always say that she's like 800 years old. Her soul has like traveled and traveled and traveled. I'm honestly sad this, like, you know, her star might burst after this. She just traveled so many lives.
Yeah.
And she's a wealth of knowledge, but she's very spiritual. And I used to literally be like, I'm like, the universe told you that. But now I'm like, totally. I'm like you. I'm like a changed woman.
I'm changed woman. Yeah. Manifestation. We are.
Yes.
We love it all.
I agree.
We love it all.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. That was so, so powerful. Thank you for telling that story too, by the way. And I want to take the largest shift ever because.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the largest shit ever. I was like,
I did just have coffee. I had coffee, didn't eat. We were both saying that we were. Both. All three of us were saying we felt like we were on the moon.
Yeah.
Like halfway
I'm still
through.
There.
Yeah, I am still kind of floaty.
I'm still there.
I just only had coffee. I didn't eat a single thing, and I've been up since 5:30, so I've had a lot of coffee. I don't know if y'all ate this morning.
Did we
y'all
had like a biscuit.
Like a little.
I had nothing.
A biscuit.
I want huevos rancheros.
Ooh,
yeah.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
We're going to go to East Nashville because we're hipsters.
You're crazy. You guys should. You'll fit in.
Maybe I'll get a mimosa.
You're out of control.
I know. I am. Like that. This is Nashville Scout.
This is Nashville Scout.
Who is she? No, I was saying I like felt like I was like on the halfway through their podcast. I was like, I'm sorry. Does anyone else feel like they're on the fucking moon? Like I, because Shannon I've done meth before.
Oh my God.
By accident. But I kind of similar feeling. Like I literally felt like I was on meth.
Wait,
can I did it by accident.
Have you already talked about this on the pod?
Yeah, I think I've told the story on the podcast. Have I, Courtney? Yeah, okay, I always retell stories. People get so annoyed. They're like, you tell the same stories over and over. You always interrupt people. But I basically thought I was. I did take drugs from a bathroom attendant, which is like, don't do that. You know what I mean? Like I was in Tulum. We took. You know that you like go to the bathroom.
They're like cocaine. That wasn't like that wasn't what Tulum was 5 years ago. I went on my honeymoon 5 years ago. Trendsetter, and there was. No cocaine in the bathroom.
Well, it
wasn't like
the cartel.
We went to the same places that we went last time. I was like, why the fuck are there girls in tight dresses with bottles?
Well, the
oh, that wasn't a thing. Tulum did blow up, I think, in the last
it
like 5 years.
It became
Vegas. Yeah, it's Vegas.
And the cartel completely took it over. We were going to the bathroom like, cocaine.
I was like, no.
Wait, is this the bathroom?
We went to Tulum 2 years ago, and then the day after we left, there was a shooting at the club we were at, the nightclub we were at.
There was a shooting as we drove by.
Wait, we might have been in Tulum at the same time. Maybe.
When did you go?
Might be more common than we think.
When did you go?
Shoot, I went two years ago in October.
We were in September 2 years ago. We just missed each other.
So
there was a shooting.
There was a shooting when we were there too.
No. I think I went September or October. I was just
we were probably
the same one.
Oh,
we
were probably the same.
Good. I hope they've gone down in numbers for the shootings. I really do. I hope that was the same one. I hope it was.
Really.
But I did. I thought I was taking Molly. I'd never done Molly before, so therefore, when I took the meth, I was like, I guess this is what Molly's supposed to feel like. And it was not a vibe.
How did you know that it was meth?
We were
because it's not a vibe.
It was not a vibe. We were up for like 2 days. Everyone had done Molly before and was like, this is not fucking Molly. And then I went to the doctor when I got back and didn't care because I'm me. And I was like, take my blood and tell me what I did. They literally did a blood test on me and tested me for everything. They're like, there was absolutely zero MDMA in your system.
Oh my God.
But you did do meth. And I was like, except for they like weren't chill about it. They were like really concerned. And like, I thought I was going to get in trouble. I was like, I can't get in trouble, right?
Well,
like you're not going to call my mom,
so
right?
This is what happened after Coachella.
Because you did it outside of this country. So
yeah,
what can
they
do for you?
But they kind of were acting like I was going to get in trouble. I was like, shut up.
You can't
Rhonda.
Get, I don't think,
Rhonda.
Yeah,
Rhonda, truly Rhonda.
I was at Coachella and I did Molly at Coachella. And then when I came back, I thought I was dying. Like I was like, so
the
I went to the,
down, yeah.
I went to the doctor's office. I was like, they're like, okay, what did you do? And I had to tell them everything. And I was like, I did some shrooms and I did some Molly. Like, what's going to happen?
Like, so your dopamine
I was like,
levels
I feel like
are
I have
shot.
I was like, I have a heart murmur. Like I'm having a heart attack. And they were like, no, you just did Molly. Like,
you
go
just
home.
Did drugs at Coachella, bitch.
Yeah, like, take go, that, please go home take and take
that's
a nap.
What it feels like to come down from mania, by the way.
Look at it. More in common than
we think.
No, they're like, take the tinsel out of your hair and the feathers off your booth hole. You just did Molly at Coachella. Like,
did you go to Coachella?
Did you go to Coachella? You still have a flash tat on? You're like, no. Those are so outdated. But remember when flash tats were all the rage?
Oh, my God.
It's me, your favorite grocery store hater. I am simply just not trying to be in a crowded grocery store, inevitably buying loads and loads of food that I don't need and won't end up using. So I've been using Factor to get fresh, never frozen, ready to eat meals delivered right to my door. I mean, legit, you guys, in less than 2 minutes, they are heated up and ready to devour, and you didn't have to cook it yourself, which is just so great. And here's the thing. Honestly, no matter what your lifestyle is, Factor has the meals to help you live it to the fullest. They've got keto, calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and for bulking season, baby, Factor got protein plus meals on the menu each week. You already know those are James' favorites, obviously. These meals are prepared by chefs and approved by dietitians. Each meal has all the ingredients that you need to feel satisfied all day long because you're actually eating good, clean, healthy food. I always feel fuller longer when I'm eating like legit good food. Not only is Factor cheaper than takeout from restaurants, it's restaurant quality. One of my favorite things about Factor's chef-prepared meals is they actually show you who the chef is that made the meal. Like on the packaging, there's a photo and a little bio. It's just so cool to me. It makes you feel like the chef just came to your house to make it. They've also got great add-ons for snacks like quick bites, smoothies, juices, and tons more. You can also add protein if you want to like a veggie or vegan dish. If it doesn't have meat on it already, you can just slap it on there. If you want to switch it up, the options are endless. Factor is making it so easy to eat in and eat clean for less. And you already know that I hooked it up with a discount code for y'all. Get America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit and start saving time, eating well, and living your best year ever. Head to factormeals.com/probably50 and use code probably50 to get 50% off your first box. That's code probably50 at factormeals.com/probably50 to get 50% off your first box.
Okay, so I wanted to shift, not take a shit, and we're not on the moon, but this is how quickly my like brain goes. But I wanted to shift because I don't talk about this enough on my podcast, and I loved that y'all's episode is coming out next week, so it can stay current, which is nice. Okay. I'm not like stockpiling these episodes. So I love that whenever we did, producer Courtney reached out and was like, what are some talking points? You guys were like pop culture.
Okay,
I never, I feel like I never talk about pop culture, and I would like, I love to, when I go on the toast with like Claudia or anything like that, or any podcast where they talk about pop culture, I forget how much I'm literally obsessed with other people.
Yeah.
Like I really am fixated on pop culture, and I guess I just really only talk about it sometimes with Taylor. Most times she doesn't really know what I'm fucking talking about. Like she didn't know who Alex Earl was, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But what are some like pop culture things that you guys are currently fixated on?
Okay, we should edit that talking point to say that Maddie's really great at pop culture and I ask questions. It's where I go.
Fun.
I don't need to go to E! News. I just go to the podcast and I listen and then I know.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm trying to think of like something that's happening right now.
Well, I mean, Rihanna was just
right well, now. Rihanna,
which was like amazing.
Let's talk about Riri.
Riri, the Super Bowl was incredible. I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I actually didn't watch her performance either. But
wait,
that's a me
like
thing.
At all? Fuck is
I watched
wrong
it later. I didn't watch it live.
Okay.
I didn't have. I don't have cable.
Okay, but like, what was your vibe with it? Because people, I'm shocked that people are like, she did too little. Like it was not exciting enough. I was like, what?
I thought it was perfect.
I saw it post, which I feel like now I have this like biased opinion because I didn't, obviously after when I saw it, I had already seen all the headlines that she's pregnant, whatever.
Oh.
And then I had seen all the headlines saying like it was boring. So I went in being like knowing what everyone said off the get-go. And I personally, but if you love Rihanna, then you loved that performance, right? If you maybe, I'm trying to think devil's
don't
advocate, if you maybe don't know who she is and you've just watched Super Bowl performances, then you're like, she didn't really like, you know,
do
fireworks.
Anything.
The only thing that I do wish, I will say, and I know I'll get some shade for this. I do wish she brought a guest out just because I feel like that's so iconic for the Super Bowl. These
so
iconic
fun.
Singers bring out an iconic guest and it's just fucking iconic.
Yeah.
And you're just like, iconic. And she didn't bring a guest out.
Okay.
And I know the whole vibe was like, this is my guest. But it's like, right?
It
you can't like sing out, you know what I mean?
Guest.
So like,
right.
I wish she brought a guest out, but I personally love Rihanna. So personally, I was losing my fucking mind.
I mean,
obsessed.
She's DGAF. Like that is her vibe. Like she doesn't give a fuck.
So true.
Did you know that they don't, you don't get paid for doing?
I did know that.
Like,
yeah, I guess you have like a budget for paying everyone else but the singer, I guess.
Yeah, so my question, do you know the answer to this? But they don't have to pay for the production,
no,
right?
So like
no.
Apple paid for everything
okay.
because it was now Apple halftime show, not Pepsi. This was like the
yeah,
first time
it's
in
a
50
year.
Shut up.
Yeah. And so they pay for everything, but they don't pay for the celebrity.
Who's
it's
drinking
so
Pepsi?
Crazy.
No one. That's why Apple
they
Music
upped
is
the,
now.
They upped the... First of all, wait, listen to this. Before, it was $25 million for Pepsi to pay for the halftime show, which I think was very low.
That's very low. That's incredibly low.
And then
low.
So they upped
inflation.
The...
Inflation.
So they upped it to $50
million. This is a finance podcast, by the way.
This is finance 101.
I mean, that makes sense because the room rates at the Parker have gone up double in the last 5 years, so it only makes sense that the Super Bowl would double their rates, too.
I also... Shout out to the Parker. Fuck off.
Truly.
Lower your rates, okay?
Truly.
I think also Apple probably had to come in strong being like,
yeah.
oh
they had to outbid
y'all
them.
Do 25, we'll do 50. 50.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Like their first hitter had
yeah,
to be like.
Yeah, no, they were just like, yeah, we'll fucking pay 50 mil.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whatever. Pepsi's like, wait,
hold on.
Like, I can't.
When people say Pepsi or Coke, no one's being like Pepsi.
Exactly.
Like when someone's like, sorry, we only have Pepsi products. No one's like, thank God for that. I would love a Mountain Dew. Like no one's saying that.
I know. Yeah. I know. So yeah, it was an Apple production. I thought it was stellar.
Can I give a pop culture update that I'm obsessed with right now?
Oh,
I would love
please,
to hear it.
Please, because I don't.
It's not really like news about this person. It's just that I love this person and it's weird and I don't know what to do about
no,
it.
No, I like odd obsessions. I get really fixated on people. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, whenever I listen to a Jack Harlow song, I'm like, this guy is so sexy. But
oh
like when
God.
I see him, I'm like, wait, what?
Are you anti?
Scout, no, it's just so precious because that is like such old news. Like, everyone's everyone's obsessed with Jack Harlow. Everyone doesn't know.
No, I know that.
Everyone doesn't know why. Like everyone's like, why, dude? Oh, why is this man hot?
No. Everyone suffers the same fate and infatuation.
So I have something in common with the collective.
It's not a hot take. Not a hot everyone take. Is so perplexed why they're obsessed with him. Why they want to fuck him.
Man,
they're like, why do I want him to be my hall pass? But he's, you know what it is? He's so fucking smooth.
He's just like this. He's like even keeled. He's like, first class. I'm like, oh my smooth. God. Okay, sure. Let's
and
go.
And he's also like, you know why I think people got really infatuated with him? Like, I hope Jack Harlow doesn't listen to this podcast.
Oh, I hope he does because I don't say shit like this. And so he should be honored.
No, what I'm going to say is like not maybe the nicest thing in the world. But I think people became infatuated with him in the beginning because he seems obtainable. Almost everyone feels like they could probably get with Jack Harlow.
So that's like, that's my strategy with my celebrity crushes is all of them are like, it could happen.
Would get with you back. So, I'm like that.
So let's go through them. Bill Hader.
Who's that?
Oh my God. We're having an issue here. I mean, Bill Hader is Bill
you
Hader.
You know Bill Hader.
Dude, okay, I might when I
wait, we have to tell Shannon. So Maddie is so obsessed with Bill Hader. You're going to look him up and die. I email with his publicist like twice a year.
So we don't have men. We don't have men on the pod.
Office.
No, that's John Krasinski.
You're worse than me.
No, that's Dwight. So people always think that Bill Hader is Dwight.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
People always think that Bill Hader is.
Ray no, Wilson. It's not. No, it's not. It's a very different person.
Bill Hader's hot.
So
Bill Hader is daddy.
Please don't say that.
Okay,
what was he in? Okay,
he's on SNL. He was in Trainwreck with Amy Schumer.
I must always see him on SNL. I'm like, I definitely see him everywhere.
He dated Rachel Bilson for a little bit,
and then Anna Kendrick.
And then Anna Kendrick, and he is just. But the thing is, he was gonna be our first male guest.
Shut up. Cool.
No, in our heads. Sorry.
Okay.
No.
So I email his publicist twice a year, and I'm like just following up on that conversation
and
that
he
we had.
Responds.
He responds within 12 hours.
That's
and he
says, so nice.
Sorry, Bill is still unavailable.
Bill is still
sorry,
emotionally unavailable, and will never be available for this interview.
Is he currently single? Oh, you have a boyfriend, but your boyfriend's just a mustache, and maybe you should date Bill Hader. Sorry.
Well,
go back to their podcast.
So the thing is, so me and my boyfriend have hall passes, obviously. Mine is Bill Hader. So it's like very easily attainable. Also, Timothy Chalamet, which I don't think is easily attainable, but people think that I can get him because he looks like a small child.
Yes. I'm just, I don't get the allure. I get it if you're like 14.
I could.
What is the name of this? So everyone always asks my hall pass. And then I always have, I swear the universe does this on purpose to make me look fucking stupid. But I always have this immediate brain glitch.
Yeah.
And I forget. And then people are like, he obviously is not your hall
what
pass.
What movie was
but then I just remembered his name just now as I said that. So I used to say, this is frustrating to me because I was much like Scout. I was a trendsetter. I used to say this. And my dear friend Dugan is here and she can attest to this. Everyone, when they're like, who's your celebrity crush? Who's your hall pass? I would always say Miles Teller. To which people would always go, who's that? And then they'd look him up and go, him? And I'm like, you don't get it. Like, he's literally like funny, hot, obtainable. I feel like we could totally get together.
Yeah, but he's got a wife. He kind of feels like that's the guy from Top Gun, right?
Yes.
Yes, but then Top Gun came out, and then now so some other muscly boxing movie he was in, and then there was like another thing, and everyone's like, he's so hot, and I was like, first of all, fuck off.
I was a Miles Teller OG as well. I was like.
He looks
five,
like the guy. He looks like the guy who was like at the frat. Like he looks like
yeah. But that's love that.
Yeah, but they're everywhere.
Love
and I like, love. So I, many of I them. Missed when he had like more of a dad bod. So that's kind of my like. I don't.
I
liked
his evolution.
I don't like.
We don't
abs.
Like super like.
We don't like jacked.
Oh, my boyfriend's literally like a
like
sculpture.
We like John Krasinski before
John
he
Krasinski the office. John Krasinski.
Oh, I love
Private Ryan.
Isn't he in Private Ryan?
Jack Ryan.
Saving Obsessed. Private Ryan is a Holocaust movie.
It is?
It is.
I don't remember it like that.
I know it is not a Holocaust movie, Maddie, whatsoever.
Oh
sorry,
my gosh.
We know all the Holocaust movies because our parents are like experts in Holocaust education.
Wait,
so
they
we
are?
Know, yeah.
I want them on the podcast. I really.
You want to what?
I want them on the podcast. I did a play about the Holocaust in seventh grade.
What's the play?
The play is called I Never Saw Another Butterfly.
Oh.
And
I was also in that play.
You were?
We had a butterfly wall in
bitch,
our
I was a star.
Yeah. But I was the star.
I was. But I got so interested in it. And the Holocaust is talked about actually. I think a little bit more in my school. We learned for sure about it. I feel like the education could always be much more.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they've cut some curriculum now, but back then we definitely learned about it, right? But then we were having like Willy Wonka. We were having like all these like plays, and then we had a new musical director come in. I was like, you're going to do a play about the Holocaust. And everyone was like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to know more. And she made anyone that wanted to audition for the play, she made us read The Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
Yeah.
She made us like really, and I was like very, very like into reading as much and learning as much as I could about it.
Wow.
And it switched from me wanting the part in the play to me just like genuinely being like, I can't believe this fucking happened. And then realizing they don't teach it to us like this. Like,
oh, yeah.
They don't sugarcoat it, but they definitely just kind of like tell you and then you move on to the next
episode. How old were you?
In seventh grade. So,
so we went to Jewish school. So,
so it was very ingrained in us.
Yeah, I was just having this conversation actually with my sister-in-law because we went to Jewish school. So they ingrained it in us very young. And I actually remember not being able to like emotionally handle it. I think they taught it to us.
Too much.
Like the highest extent, like when we were like eight. Like it was too much.
They would show us like... It was a lot of footage. And,
I remember wanting to watch Schindler's List because I was on my like just crusade to learn more and more about the Holocaust.
My
parents were like, no. And I was like, because I was in seventh grade. Yeah, I was like, there's this movie really Schindler's List that I want to watch. And my mom was like, you're not watching that.
I'm literally shook. I can't believe
it. So are our parents.
Our parents
are. They are literally like the experts. Like they create museums for like stuff for museums.
So I went to, we took a school trip, which where the fuck my school got the funding for this? I think we must have had to pay for it. Like parents individually had to pay for it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we went to New York, which is like a feat. But we went, ready for this? In buses. We didn't fly.
From South Carolina. South Carolina.
Yeah, so we were in this like charter bus.
I have no idea how far away that
is. It's far. It's like 12 hours.
Oh,
so we went in a charter bus and we stayed at like the Marriott Marquis, which was like fabulous at the time. I don't know if it still is or what, but to a seventh grader, it was fucking cool.
Yeah.
And then we went, because that year we did the play, part of it was we went to the Holocaust Museum, which I think now is a mass genocide museum.
They've switched it.
Sounds really dark, but I think they've switched it to like incorporate all
genocides.
But at the time it was just the Holocaust Museum, and it was really jarring for all of us were crying. I remember it was like, but then you wonder, you're like, is this good that we're learning this? But like you get to a point where you're like, is seventh grade old enough to really be seeing things like this? Because there's just one floor where they just talk about the medical things that were the tests that they were running on these human beings that were horrible.
Yeah.
So it's like, and they showed a lot of the footage. And I remember being like, I couldn't really process it at that point. Like things to that
level. Yeah, they were doing that test at like age eight.
Yeah.
Age eight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In elementary school, we like fully knew what the Holocaust was.
And like saw all the...
But it's probably because, you know, we're Jewish and we went to Jewish schools and
all
that stuff.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm torn because I guess I'm like, yeah, you should like they should know the like depths of this. But then it's like,
I think eighth grade is like the minimum, I would say, that people should really go into depth. Mm-hmm. But we should connect you with our parents because our parents
won't shut the fuck up about the Holocaust.
They won't stop.
Our entire house is just like Nazi books and like things on Hitler. Like, because they are super
warm.
No, literally it'll be like Hitler's Third Reich. And I'm like, oh my God.
No.
Like,
when we go on vacation, we have to be like,
no Holocaust talk.
Like, we're not. Like, and then what do? They took us to Berlin and everywhere.
And we're
literally,
he's like, this is where Hitler's bunker was.
And I was like, Mom, you promised us that we wouldn't do anything Holocaust.
You guys, you had to know you're going to Berlin.
I know. We were like, no Holocaust, please.
We're going to Germany, but absolutely no Holocaust talk, please.
Like, I know.
Did you know what we were gonna do?
I know. They're very involved.
Raise your hand if you've ever been personally victimized by a horribly fitted bra. Like, memories unlocked immediately of younger Shannon trying desperately to find a bra that didn't look and feel like it was trying to trap her little tots in a steel cage. And listen, I'm a member of the Itty Bitty Titty Committee, and I still feel this struggle. Like, no one is safe, okay? But gone are those days, thank the Lord, because Third Love has created the most magically fitting bras ever. You guys, I'm serious. Specifically, their 24/7 classic t-shirt bra. It is chef's kiss. Like, when I have a perfect little white tee and I want that perfect thing to go underneath it, they've done just that. It doesn't show at all. Like, it's literally invisible under your clothes. And the straps stay put, because I can't stand when you're yanking at those things all day. They have legit over 60 sizes so everyone can find their fit. And my favorite thing about Third Love is that they come in half sizes. Because even my little gals, they need that little extra sizing option. Honestly, I've always been like right in between a size. So this is really, really amazing for people that are struggling with that. Also, there's nothing better than just feeling confident in your clothes because your bra actually fits you underneath them. So they've got a fitting room quiz that has helped over 20 million women find their true bra size. Third Love also, by the way, is the largest donor of undergarments in the U.S., partnering with organizations to donate over 50 million worth of bras to help people in need. I love, 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 love that about them. So ladies, it's time to ditch the bad bras and get one that makes you look and feel great. Upgrade your bra today and get 20% off your first order at thirdlove.com/probably. That's 20% off your first order today at thirdlove.com/probably.
Our stepdad wasn't born Jewish, but he had like a very, he got really, really, he's you, like, I need to learn more. And he became an expert. And in, it's, so yeah. It should come on the podcast.
It's hard to, oh, you're, so your stepdad was not Jewish and he became, yes, you, I tote this line all the time. I've actually talked to Claudia about this where I'm like, I don't ever want to use words like I'm obsessed with, because like, you don't want to say you're obsessed with the Holocaust.
No, no, no.
Like,
you're obsessed with learning about. Yeah, I think if someone takes that in the wrong context, they need to think about what the fuck they're thinking about. Like, we understand what you're trying to say.
You're fascinated by it as a cultural and a historical moment.
You're like horrified that it happened.
Right. I can't believe it happened. I can't believe there are literal idiots out there that say it didn't happen. Oh, there is like, can't even talk about it. Don't even want to give that the fucking space on the podcast. I really genuinely, I sometimes feel bad for wanting to know so much about it. But Claudia's like, no, education like Jewish culture and the Holocaust is important. Like, yeah, it sure. Is. So anyway. Oh,
honestly, just from like a historical and society standpoint, because I feel like when you study things like the Holocaust, you can study how something like that happened. So you can find the warning signs within other societies to make sure that one person doesn't brainwash an entire country and put intense systems in place to really do something that terrible.
It's a good thing to educate yourself
on it, for sure.
How did we start talking about the Holocaust?
Gosh, I just don't know.
Saving Private Ryan.
Oh my gosh. Which, by the way, don't think it's a Holocaust
it's
a, movie.
It's not, isn't it's a World War II, movie,
which is the Holocaust?
It's not a Holocaust movie. It's like a World War II England American. Isn't Tom Hanks in it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a war movie. It's not a Holocaust. It's an American war
movie.
It's
a war movie. Okay.
Anyways, but so yes, our parents are deeply embedded in the Holocaust culture.
Okay. So they can come on.
They can come on. I'm like, I would
die over them. You'll love them so much.
Wait, next time you're in LA.
Are you
in LA?
In LA soon?
Yeah.
Okay, so come to Shabbat.
I always say yeah.
Yeah, you're just like, sure.
You're going to come for Shabbat.
Oh.
We're going to have so much fun.
I have so many more Jewish friends now that I lived in New York for a little bit or was in New York for a little bit at least. Yeah. Like, yes.
Come to Shabbat. Our mom is like Nancy Meyers vibes. Like, she's like so chic and like, she's just, it's the best vibe.
Is it not that unusual for people that aren't Jewish to go to Shabbat?
Yeah. All our friends do.
Okay. No one's like, no, they're not Jewish. No, it's not like that.
Literally in college, all my friends would come to Shabbat with me because they gave a free wine and stuff. Nice. And so we'd all have Shabbat dinner, like pregame.
That's how the rabbis get you on the college campus.
They're just like, come, we'll bring you free wine and free food. And so like all my friends were like, wait, are we going to Shabbat tonight? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I love that the rabbis are like, we know how to get them.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. They used to put like vodka on the tables.
Stop.
Yeah. But that's like a rabbi thing. Like whenever you go to Shabbat at a rabbi's house, I mean, it's like shots. Like it's just.
Really?
It's a mitzvah to drink, I'm pretty sure.
I would hope so.
Well, are you guys drinking at bat mitzvahs and bar mitzvahs?
When we were
there. She goes, hunch.
Wait. When we were that age?
No.
Yeah.
No, because we were, at the age of 13, we were in eighth grade, which means we were going to the Jewish Academy. And so it's a small, small community. I mean, I did not know someone who wasn't Jewish until I was 18. Like, I only grew up with Jewish people. And it's such a small.
Is your husband Jewish?
Yeah. So it's such a small group of people. And then my friend's parents were friends with my parents, so it was even more always together.
Tight knit, yeah.
Yeah, and so in eighth grade, I mean, listen, we got into some shit in high school, but we were PG in eighth grade because, first of all, eighth grade was my party, like, highlight because I literally sometimes had 3 bat mitzvahs or bar mitzvahs to go to a week.
Right, Taylor, my best friend Taylor, I don't know, like, well, I know she grew up in Alabama, but there was, I guess, like a large Jewish community nearby, which I don't know why, but like Alabama isn't screaming Jewish to me, but
no, absolutely not.
But like, but so I don't mean to be rude there, but I'm like, wait, no. how does this story
honestly
end up?
There's Jews everywhere. It's really crazy.
There's a song.
Should we sing
yeah,
it?
There's a song. What's they, a song? They, when you're like okay, in the camp, they sing it to you. They go,
no, not in the camp.
No, like, when, like, you go to when you go to Jewish camp, camp. Camp. When yeah, you no, go no. wherever Same you go, there's always someone Jewish. You're never alone when you say you're a Jew.
Literally a cult.
And there's someone kind of newish. The odds are to look far because they're Jewish too. Da 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 da.
Oh my god! I feel like
it's the creepiest song I've ever heard.
Amsterdam, it's Disneyland.
It's endearing, but
it's like giving cult.
No, it's giving when you walk into a sorority house on a big campus and they're like, "We're Delta Chi, we're Delta Chi. You can come and join us. We're the sisterhood." And you're like, "I'm scared, but I want to join."
And like,
I want to learn.
Jews walking around singing that.
We were like, we were 6 years old. 6 years old.
Okay, wait.
It's a kid's song.
Okay, so your friend,
6 is better.
Yeah. No. We're not like 13, like running around singing this. Yeah.
Okay, so your friend
it's
is in Alabama.
It's also really like slow song. It was like wherever you go. I don't know if y'all were making your voices sound like that, but that was kind of weird.
Literally, like this whole fucking interview, yes. I'm like, God damn, this clip is going to not go well on TikTok.
I'm loving every bit of it.
Okay,
I really am.
Okay, so your friend is in Alabama and there's Jews nearby.
Oh, she just said bat mitzvahs were the best part, highlight of her life. Because she was like, you get to stay out till 11 p.m., which is like late when you're in 8th grade.
And
like,
people
everyone's
throw
dancing.
Down for the bat mitzvah.
She's like, we're literally in grind lines. Like, we're just having so much fun.
Grinding.
Oh, my God. It's a mini wedding. I had like 3 mini weddings every weekend.
Yeah, that's so nice. I went to one and it was like the coolest thing ever. They had like a chocolate fountain. I grew up like with not a lot of money, so I remember I kept looking at my mom going, how much was that? And she was like, I don't know. And then I would be like, go get it. How much do you think they paid for that? And my mom's like, Shannon, it's a bat mitzvah, but like people spend their whole like lives preparing for this moment, right? I don't know. I was like,
I remember the raciest thing that ever happened at a bat mitzvah that they went to is some girl gave a guy a hand job underneath the table, but that's about it. That's like the only thing
that
was
that
crazy. It wasn't that bad.
Amsterdam, Disneyland, everyone's getting hand jobs under tables everywhere. They might not be Jewish, but everyone's doing that everywhere. Okay.
Oh my God.
Also, you guys, we do have to cut this one a little bit short. I'm about to get on the aeroplane.
You're going to a world that I don't even fucking know. I couldn't even tell you one thing about this pageant world.
About a pageant?
Yeah.
I'm going to interview both in one. You can be married and have kids. You used to not be able to be married and have kids.
Excuse me?
Now you can. They changed the rules. It used to be to compete at Miss USA, like Miss South Carolina USA, Miss North Carolina USA, whatever. You couldn't be married and you couldn't have kids. And I guess the thought process behind that was like, you won't be able to give your all to the title. I think
it's a little bit of a maiden vibe. Like you're young and you're like maybe a virgin, but you're not.
Yeah, well, like let's be fucking real. Yeah. But like,
it's like a purity, I think might be.
I don't know what it is, but it's probably something like that. Yeah. And so anyways, that used to be the shtick. And then it used to be, I think the age limit was 26, 27.
Oh, wow.
Now they've raised that too. So now I think like 29, maybe.
I'm still disqualified. I'm an old married mother.
You're an old maid.
No, you're a MILF.
You literally look 12, by the way. I don't know if that's an insult, but like you and Timothy Chalamet, y'all can.
Y'all
both look 14.
You know what? When I used to be smoking cigarettes all the time.
Oh
which
my god,
don't
I love that,
that
about you.
I honestly
shouldn't, but I do.
Honestly,
she was so
favorite part
so,
about
like,
me.
Emo. Like, she was like so mysterious.
Miss my cigarette days, like.
She was like one of those bullshit. She's like, it's so romantic. Like, I'll have a cup of black coffee.
It was romantic.
I
was at a party and like I get anxiety, so I'd be like, I'm just gonna smoke a cigarette, and then I would just like disappear. It was the
best. That is nice.
Where was I going with that?
MILF energy, Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, so when I would buy cigarettes at the age of like 23, 22.
Oh.
This was when you had to be 18 to buy cigarettes. I need to be 21. They're like,
oh, you do have to be 21 now.
You need to be 21 now. You need to be 21 now. Which, like, I don't know what happens to the 19-year-olds who are addicted. So I would go in and they'd be like,
they're so fucked.
They're totally
fucked. Those poor kids.
Wait, first of all, they're fucked anyways. Don't smoke cigarettes. But like,
don't smoke cigarettes.
My mom's little brother, so my uncle, he was, you know, the drinking age used to be 18, and then they switched it to 20.
In his.
And then they switched it back to 18, and then they went to 21, but he was in that limbo.
Oh,
and he literally was like, bars, no bars. And like, I was like, that would have sucked.
Yeah.
That would have been really sad.
Yeah, but they would ID you all the time.
Oh, yeah. They were like, you're 14. I was like, I'm 22. Like, I can drink. Like, give me the fucking cigarette.
Give me the cigarette.
Oh, that's funny. Anyways. Yeah, no, I like wanted to smoke a long skinny cigarette whenever I was in Italy. And okay. And then I remembered that I wasn't like some long tan Italian woman with
I think I am
tiny little nipples out on a boat anyways.
I'll embody that shit all day long.
Her nips are always out.
Always. They can't be out. I know we have to go. They can't be out now because I breastfeed, and so I have to wear a bra.
No.
But like I have to wear a bra, I mean, and a nipple covering because I'll
leak. The whole point.
So I'm like, I can't wait to stop breastfeeding so I don't have to wear a bra anymore because I'll go like
white
shirt. She
whips out her tit everywhere.
Yeah, I like titties. My nipples are so pale. They're like, my friends called me neutral nips growing up, so wow. Can't even see them.
Neutral nips?
Oh my God.
Wait.
It's just like a dot in the middle.
Tell you what. If they're hard, they're a little bit darker.
Okay.
Wait, there's no coloring around.
I know. I do have a spray tan, so they're like even more like flaccid.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's where we'll wrap up.
That sounds good.
And welcome to the Probably a Podcast.
But I'm like, y'all show anyone my nipples. I don't care.
Oh, wow.
Like
girls. I love it.
Like girls.
Sure.
You know what I mean? No. Like I'm not like, Sean, was he here? Did he just see that? Dugan's brother. I'm like, anyways. No, I like, yeah, anytime, like I'm such a not modest girl. James thinks it's so funny. James thinks it's so funny. Like my friend came over to spray tan me last night. He's like, it's so funny. Like. You, like your vagina, it's just like
just right vagina.
And I was like,
oh no,
yeah,
totally.
I'm the same way.
Totally. And then when I get spray tanned by strangers in Cape Town, I had like a mobile spray tan person come. He's like, yeah. You take your underwear off. I was like, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll give up.
When I'm in a massage, I'm touch my butt. I don't care. Yeah, get in there. Okay.
Yeah, anyways. My boobs now breastfeeded. They're out publicly, and my husband's like, do you want to cover up? I'm like,
I have enough things
to worry about. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
Anyways.
Well, thank you guys for coming. You are absolute, like I said, breath of Listerine air, and I love you dearly. Have the most fun in Nashville. I'm sorry I won't be here this weekend to just trollop around with you.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Bye, guys.